Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the Weekly Mac. Sorry if you're looking for last week's Mac Show and couldn't find it until Thursday. I only put it up about half an hour before we started recording this one. Thank Livestream if you want to write to your MP, because they managed to lose the recording that we had. And I found one in the depths of the transmission machine that's over there. So it's not particularly great quality, but at least we got a show out after last week. So thank you very much in the end. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, of course, it's the lull after the storm of WWDC, but I'm sure we'll have a few things to discuss. Top left, Adam, how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going all right.
Not enough time to get your hair done again, as usual.
Bandwidth issues aside, honestly, I woke up, I don't set alarms or anything like that. I woke up at 7 and I walked in and sat down in front of my computer and it said, oh, you're on the Mac Show right now.
Good job.
Shit.
Yeah, I think there's a few other people who don't remember that, Mr. Merritt.
So,
got you on a Mac.
So I did what I had to do. I grabbed a hat and I sorry, I'm late.
First time joining us, it's Scotty. How you doing, mate? Steve Scott.
I am great. Thanks for having me on the show. Looking
pleasure,
forward
mate.
To breaking my virginity.
Well, yeah, hardly. you're a seasoned podcaster, though, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been podcasting since about 2007, early 2007.
Oh, wow. How many episodes have you done since then?
Well, I don't really know, because I'm one of these people that just as you're approaching about 100 episodes, think, I'm going to slightly change the show. And if I'm going to change the show, I'm going to change the name and therefore I'll change the numbers. I think I've reached getting on for 100 four, maybe five times now. So probably 400 or 500 shows, but none of them ever feel that old.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
Good man. And while we're on the subject of how many episodes have you done, Will Green.
Five.
The cheek. I checked that almost subtext in.
I love you, brother. How you been, buddy?
Traumatized.
Happy birthday to you for yesterday, mate.
Thank you.
The ripe old age of what?
43.
43. Viagra's just around the corner, mate.
Well, you know,
hey,
I can still do
think
that.
We're about the same age.
I'm okay in that.
I take offense.
You're only 43, Adam. You're so sensible. Yeah. I thought you were older than me.
Great.
No, I didn't.
Something right.
No, you look healthier than me by a long way. But what I'm saying is, I thought you were more sensible than me. Therefore, you were older. I'm applying the 3-year-old's logic to this. We've got Tom Merritt as well, but Tom's not turned up. I think we may have had a bit of communications issue, and he might be here tomorrow at 3:30. If any seen wandering around aimlessly, do send him over. Right, tell him it's next week. Thanks, mate. The Week in Apple, what's been going on? Well, it's the week after WDC. We're 10 days in. We've got a developer here as well as who can talk, and we've got Adam and Will. 10 days on, has anyone had a significant
what's
play?
What's that mean?
Well, you're not...
We've got a developer here,
yeah,
and we've
Scott.
Got Adam and Will as well.
Well, I'm not aware that Adam's got a developer account.
I do, and I am a developer. I'm a web developer mostly.
Web developer, yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Write a bunch of Objective-C yet or anything like
no,
that,
that's
although
what I meant.
Probably might learn some Swift.
That's what I meant. And Greeny, you're not a developer by any chance, are you?
No, not really.
Yeah, exactly. So what's wrong with my statement then, I ask you? 10 days in, who's had a play? Who's happy? Who's sad? Who's impressed? Who's not impressed? Who's got some features that they really love? Who's got some features they really hate?
I've messed around a little bit. With both, it's, you know, it's beta, so a lot of the stuff that they show is even kind of tricky to get working and playing around with, and I'm not convinced spec wise you know, because I threw it on especially iOS 8, I threw it on an older iPad. I'm not sure all the features are on all devices, so, but I haven't had too much time to play with it, and I've got to get into the forums and find out, you know, what's working what way and what not way, because I was really wanting to mess around with handoff, and I haven't had much luck getting that feature to work. But it could be because, again, I'm running on an older device. I don't know. I have to look in and find out. Maybe Scott knows.
Scotty?
Yeah, I've only put it on one device, so I'm not sure whether it's working on...
you can't really hand off to yourself, can you?
Or different things. So it's it's difficult. And I'm only playing in the simulator. It's really trying to still get a head around different bits and bobs. I mean, I think it, as a developer, this has probably been the biggest set of announcements we've seen in a long, long time, probably since the iPhone SDK was released itself.
Yeah.
I know sometimes it doesn't, it didn't necessarily look like it was a huge thing from the keynote itself as far as, you know, features or whatever concern, but I just think it's going to totally change the way we write apps and also the type of apps we write. And I don't even think Swift personally was the biggest announcement.
No.
I think the extension stuff is just going to change so much if it works well and isn't too limited down and is going to be changing the way we use apps on our devices quite a lot.
Yeah, that's the key.
You were bored, were you, Will?
Well, it was a little bit boring, wasn't it? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's because you just said you're not a developer, Will.
Well, I know I'm not, but...
And it was called the Worldwide Developer Conference.
Developer or not.
Well done, mate. Don't stop giving him shit. I thought it was a huge one. I thought it was really good. I mean,
it wasn't for
something that didn't give any hardware out as well. I thought it was really impressive, and I thought Ferengi was brilliant in it. Alf Craig, he was spot on. I think he's the next CEO, no question.
Quark,
yeah, master of acquisitions or whatever it is. And I thought he was excellent. I thought some of the people that they brought on to support him were a bit wooden, especially the one bloke from the third party developer. I thought Tim was crap. I thought Tim was really awful. And I thought it was a really good keynote. And there was a lot of people, though. I went to London Mac User Group on Monday night, and there was a few devs there I was talking to, and they were a little sceptical about Swift, because I made a joke with them about, you know, is this they've just finally completed Dylan properly? They had a laugh, but then they said, well, it all seemed a bit too good to be true, and it seemed very restrictive as well, which is one of the comments that was made last week, that
of course
it's going to tie you right into doing what Apple want you to do rather than letting you do what the hell you like with C.
I think, I mean, we're going to have to wait and see, and it's a new language, but one of the things that's obvious about this is this isn't something that they've knocked together in the last couple of months to put out in the keynote. This is something they've been working on for a number of years and have now decided it's time to let the world see it. And I think it's a sign of where Apple feel they're at, because introducing a new language, you have to be in a position to think that you're big enough and strong enough to put it off. They obviously do. And really, it's they've got a captivated market, and so it doesn't really matter what we think. We'll end up using it in the next couple of years anyway, because I can't see them sort of backing out of this, because this isn't something they're just trying. I think this is where they're, you know, putting their future together, and it's, you know, they've reserved the right to change the language over the next few months before release, and so it is not quite fixed yet. But this is the way we go forward. So I'm sure we're developers, we love moaning, but you know, we've got to get on with it, really.
I love it. I love the way they've embraced cross-platform. I love the way that they've embraced helping developers maybe write one app and easily port it to Android. I think that's brilliant. And as you say, they've developed this thing, and just like Ping, they won't let it go. They're going to really, you know, really get behind this.
That, you know what, though? They're not locking any developer yet into... They're not saying you can only write in Swift to write an iOS app. And you can write iOS apps in, you know, in HTML5 and JavaScript now if you want. I mean, you know, you're going to deal with certain limitations, but, you know, they're not taking C away. They're not taking Objective-C away. This is just another option. So...
Another option. Is that what you really feel, is it? Or do you think they're trying to...
Greedy, looking at the comments from Booker in the chat room, I think you hooked a big one there. You got him, mate. Pull him in.
Yeah, but I mean, Apple will never, ever do anything to allow you to develop for anything other than an Apple device.
No.
Because they make their money from their hardware. I mean, they make stupid, silly margins on hardware because we're all stupid enough to give them money for them. And they love the developer ecosystem. I wasn't at WWDC this year, but apparently the attitude there was quite developer-friendly. But at the end of the day, they are doing stuff that will sell devices, and they don't give a stuff about any other device.
Well, I tell everyone a few weeks ago what an experience I had. And I took a very old Mac into the Apple Store. and asked the guys at Solihull to have a look at it, and they quite happily had a look at it. They quite happily reloaded the OS on it and solved all my problems, and I walked out, and that was an 8-year-old piece of kit. I mean, so yes, they charge an awful lot of money for it, but A, it still works 8 years later, and B, they're still willing to repair it for you 8 years later. Even if it's not hardware repair, it's only software repairs. But talking to the guy, I said, I've got one of the prototype Mac SEs. Any chance I could bring it in and you could put System 3 on it for me? He said, well, I haven't got System 3, but if you bring System 3, and he said, I'll do it, yeah. Book it as a Genius Bar appointment, we'll do it. You can't beat that.
No.
But that's not the service you get is great.
Yeah. Grady, go on, you're saying?
I was going to say, that's nothing to do with their closed-mindedness. It's going to be the downfall of them if they're not careful. It's...
Sorry, people have been saying that for 25 years.
Yeah, only... Right, okay, listen.
You got another big one there, Grady.
Bring him in, Will. Apple. But Android are kicking their ass, and if they're not careful with this closed-minded developer platform that they're working on, Google are going to take them over, and that's just the way it is. You can't argue against that, I don't think. It's
yes, I can. I can point to 25 years of people saying if Apple doesn't be more open, they're done for.
Well, to be fair, they fairly were until Microsoft sort of bailed them out cash-wise, probably, 15 years ago. They would have been totally screwed without Microsoft.
Oh, they would have been then, yeah.
Yeah.
But they needed that was because they were making shit mind. Hardware and they opened the platform.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were making clones and they were in... Apple was making shitty computers and then they became open and they let other people make better computers for cheaper that people wanted to buy, and the company almost sank, and that's when they got into that situation. So doing the exact thing that you're proposing was what almost basically killed the company.
The company is doomed if they don't open their minds a little bit. The times have changed. This isn't 25 years ago. They need to have a more open and flexible platform, and they're totally going against that. I don't quite know why. You know, right. Right, here we go.
Do you want me to get a picture of you holding Adam by the ankles later on? Because you got him.
Ewan, do you remember I said like there's been this sort of cycle, right? So we had Steve Jobs with Apple. Fantastic, worked brilliantly when it began. Then Steve Jobs left, and then it became shit. Yes. And then Steve Jobs came back, and it became great again. And now Steve Jobs is dead. And it's going to become shit again. So they have to figure this out. They have to.
So are you looking for? Are you looking for a third coming of Steve Jobs then? Because that's going to be pretty impressive. That'll be a hell of a keynote.
I'm looking for me to take over Apple to sort these buggers out because it's ridiculous. They need to open their minds a little.
Dude, they're going to have Woz before they have you.
You'd be fatter than I am.
Yeah, I know, but you'll still be vice president under Woz at best. They'll still have Woz before. They're not going to pick Woz behind you.
I think they will, because I've always ignored. I always thought they've been very rude to Woz, really, considering who he is.
I'll have 20 quid with you that neither you or Woz are chief executive in the next 500 years.
You never know. I'll give you 500 quid. So we've got 500 quid and 500 years. Is that right?
Windrider in the chat room saying, open your mind. You've got another one here, mate. What a day's fishing you've had.
So are you saying he is this Will's thing, huh?
Will's thing. What do you mean?
Is he messing with us?
Of course he is. No. Jesus.
Bastard.
You don't... the thing is, how long have you been coming on this show, Adam? 2 years, and you've believed everything that's come out of Will's mouth for two years.
I do.
Holy crap. Dude, I knew first show he was talking out of his arse.
Hold on.
What, sorry.
It's a moment. Stick, huh?
But I do think they need to sort of revisit slightly their strategy at the moment, because Google will kick their ass in the next couple of years if they're not careful.
I think there is a business plan they need to execute, which embraces the fact that they have competition from other areas, Will. But whether that means they're going to kick their ass, I doubt.
I think totally they are going to kick their ass. I mean, look at Samsung.
Yeah, I think underlying he believes this stuff.
Yeah, okay, and we have to remember here, this isn't about you know, technical superiority, isn't it? Or even features. It's all about desirability, and people will continue to buy the Apple stuff as long as it's seen to be the most desirable stuff. Exactly. They don't, what they do product wise or technical wise is almost irrelevant if they can keep the desirability of it up. So, you know, people don't, you know, when do you know anyone who's said, I'm going to go out and buy this phone because it's got this, Android's got this feature, or iPhone's got that feature? They want an iPhone because it's sexy. You know, that's it. They don't actually, most people buying an iPhone have no idea what it does when they buy it. They just want that one because it's the in one to buy. So it's about keeping their reputation as the sexy supplier, which will become harder the longer they stay at the top of the game, the longer they're there as the dominant factor. It will be hard to be the sort of sexy one on the block, because there's going to be some new upstart that's going to come along and do that. But you know, I think technically it's irrelevant what they're doing, almost in a way.
Mm-hmm. I don't even if I agree with
Hang on. Well, just say you disagree, please. Don't tell him he's talking. It's first time on the show and you're saying he's talking bollocks. Like, come on, mate. I disagree with your position on that, Scotty.
I'm happy with bollocks.
Oh, all right, okay.
Okay. The iPhone is embarrassingly small now. It's ridiculous. I look at these Samsung Galaxies and I think, oh, I wish I had one of them. They're so they're so lush and big and sexy. And you look at your little piddly iPhone, you think, Christ, am I the poor man in the street with this horrible tiny thing?
You're the man with
hand,
the smallest bulge in his pocket. Is that what you're saying, Will?
I got him revved up and now there's no stopping him.
No, I'm happy with my Nokia 1020, guys, and I will. It will take me a lot to get back to iOS from here for phone. Mm. Love my iPad, don't get me wrong. Quite happy, got my iPad on my little stand up here, and it's fantastic and gorgeous, but won't get back to a phone easily.
The thing, and the key is Apple's a consumer products company, and you know, I think in terms of most people that I know that are in that consumer space and they're buying iPhones, a lot of them are coming from Android devices or other devices, and they're buying iPhones because they're tired with messing around with all the shit.
That's
true. With dealing with it not running and weird battery things, and not, you know, Apple provides an experience that there's a lot of people out there, consumers, who don't want to deal with technology. They don't want to have to think about it. They don't want to have to mess with it. They don't want to have to, they want to plug it in and just have it work. And when something goes south, like you said, Ewan, they want to go to a place where someone's going to fix it for them.
Yeah.
Where they can walk in and say, this is broken.
And if that experience changes, then they're in big trouble, which is what I think Scotty's saying. And I agree totally. I mean, the one thing I'll say is the closest I ever get to walking away from doing BTN anymore is the days where nothing works on the tech and it's just like, you're giving me grief. What the hell are you doing? You bastard.
Yeah, but you're doing complicated stuff.
Yeah,
that,
I am doing
complicated stuff. Most consumers aren't.
But you know, when stuff craps out and then it's a day to recover it and that kind of thing, that's when I'm like, do you know what? It's really not worth it. Because that's the day's work gone. Well, okay, it's not, because I fit it in when I haven't got a day's work. But, you know, it's just that kind of thought process. And that's where people are with tech. If the tech isn't smooth, then they're not interested. And if the tech gives them grief over billing, they're not interested. If the tech gives them grief over the fact the kids can't use it and the kids are running up bills discreetly without them knowing, that's when they do it. It's those issues that are constantly recurring. And Apple have got to keep a hold of that, definitely. There's a story this week about they're giving some grief, aren't they, to directed ad in apps. If you've got a directed ad requirement in order to play an app, they're clamping down on how that's done and whether you can enforce it or not, which I think is very good. Very positive. And that's the kind of stuff where they'll lose listeners or users.
I mean, Android's biggest stumbling block is the carriers, because basically it's in the hands of the carriers. Mm-hmm. And I think it was pointed out in the keynote last week, wasn't it, that basically once you buy a phone, with the vast majority of phones, you're stuck with the version of Android that was on that phone when you bought it. Whereas with the iOS devices, you know, you can use the latest version right up so they can't support that device anymore or don't support that device, which is getting shorter, admittedly, but it's still a lot longer than your Android device stays current. And, you know, it's, as I said, people don't care about features. You know, my kids have Android phones, some of them, because they, you know, they're cheaper, they can afford them, but they all want iPhones. So, you know, it's...
I think one of the disappointing things coming off that, Scotty, is the inability to hack back to pure Android. So when you get your carrier thing, when you're out of contract and you say, well, actually, I quite like this phone, what I want to do is I want to hack back to stick KitKat on it, because KitKat will support the version that the device I've got. And you can't do that. There's no way to just easily say, right, strip off all the crap that the carrier's put on and let me have a raw version of KitKat, please. There's no site to go to download to do that without having to go through the process of completely hacking your phone from a technical knowledge viewpoint.
Yeah, I mean, if you seriously want to use an Android phone and get the best out of Android, then you buy a Google Nexus device or something like that where it's not tied to a carrier and you can do what you like with it.
Mm. Never mind. The Week in Apple, what's going on? That's a good conversation to start us off. Amazon, talking of competition, Amazon has launched Prime Music streaming service with access to over 1 million songs. Today, they've officially launched the Prime Music service, offering Amazon users unlimited ad-free streaming over a million songs. The service allows users to play specified curated playlists as well, and the ability to add individual songs to a playlist, and offers unlimited offline playback for all songs available on the service. That seems like a bit of a blow. That's quite a good service, no? Unlimited offline playback. If you've got the storage, does that mean you could have a million songs?
Is it rolled into Prime?
It's rolled into Prime Music, yeah. So unlimited ad-free streaming over a million songs and hundreds of playlists, and it's free with Amazon Prime. It's open today, started, already gone, up and running.
Huh.
It's also rebranded its Amazon Cloud Player iOS app as Amazon Music with a direct link, offering a refined interface that allows users... I mean, that's a killer blow. I think that could send real shock. How the hell they've managed to do that with the music industry is beyond me, because... or is that just radio? Is it just iTunes radio and it's fluffed it up a bit? The unlimited download bit, I think that seems a bit wrong to me. That doesn't seem like it would be true. But
anyway. Well, as long as you keep paying for Prime.
Yeah, which is only... Right? But you're getting all those movies now, and you're getting all the music free, and you're getting all your stuff next day for £79 a year.
Yeah.
That's not that bad.
No,
is Prime Music well. US only at the moment, or is it worldwide? Or was it anywhere that Prime is?
Yeah, I've gone down the story and I can't find a qualification for it.
How come I logged into Amazon this morning. I didn't see anything about that.
No, it's launched today. So whether that means it's got to get to like 10 a.m. your time before it's free, you know, and up and running. But there doesn't, on the story that I read, there is no qualification of it being restricted to the US. The difference between Apple's iTunes Radio.
Advert. Oh, that's we had heard something like that was coming, so
yeah,
it'll be interesting to try out. I mean, a lot comes in the you know, sort of how they present it, which is my problem with, you know, I have Prime Video, but I still prefer, then they pretty much have the same content as Netflix, more or less. I still prefer going to Netflix because the experience is so much better. Like dealing with Prime Video, Instant Prime Video is just an awful experience with their app and website and all that stuff. Because yeah, they're constantly trying to get you to buy more stuff on Amazon, obviously, which, you know, is in their best interest. So I totally get why they do it. But it's just, you know, that whole thing where you search for a movie. And maybe, did we talk about this on here? You search for a movie and they don't have it for streaming. Right.
Yeah.
But it's still presented to you in the app like they have it. And they're like, well, if you want to see this, you can buy it on Amazon. It's like, no, I don't. I just want to know what you have available to stream. And they don't make any upfront distinction. So, but with a million songs, I mean, obviously, it sounds like it's going to be different with music.
Well, it's talking about 20 million Prime members as well. So I can't believe that's US only Prime members. That's got to be worldwide Prime members.
Yeah.
There's no mention of it on Amazon UK. I don't know about at all. It doesn't come up at all. But again, Amazon, it's like going back to the discussion on Apple, that Apple does what it does to sell devices. Amazon does whatever it does to sell content. And so it's always going to offer you the thing to buy if it hasn't got the thing for free. And the reality is Prime has got to be a loss-making service for them with what's going on there. But it's there, you know, to get you to buy the content. When you come to the case of, yeah, because you're searching for that movie and then, you know, it's not on there and it's going to, oh, it's only $5. Let's just press the button and get on with it.
Mm.
And that's what they're relying on.
Russ in the chat room has suggested that it's US only, but I've asked him for a link, so we'll have to get that back and see if we can get it up. If it's definitely US, US only.
I'll get you a US link. So I just found it. So.
Craig's just put a thing in from The Guardian. Guardian Technology, 2004, June 12, Amazon Prime Music streaming Spotify.
There's the link on the US Amazon.
I'll click here, but I run the risk that the whole computer's going to freeze now as soon as Chrome opens. But we'll have to wait and see.
Unlimited ad-free streaming, over a million songs and hundreds of playlists. Best part, it's free with Amazon Prime. Yeah. I'll have to give this a go.
But does that specify US only in that article, Adam?
No, it's just a banner ad.
Launches in the US, it says.
They have no details.
Launched in the US today, so it's US today only, it would appear, but there's nothing to say it won't roll out later on. $1.7 million paying subscribers. So the one article that the official press release definitely mentions 20 million. So who knows? It could be coming soon. I think that's got to be a real blow for iTunes Radio, though, because they've been slow getting out in the UK at all. And the service is centered around users discovering new music through stations rather than having individual songs along the Spotify kind of model, which is interesting. Hackers have been involved in a...
Hold on. I meant to jump in.
Go on, then. Jump away.
Only just a sort of an opinion. When you get into your 40s, do you get bored with music? Because I certainly have got bored with music. I mean, how valuable is it to you? I wouldn't pay a penny to join a music subscription service. Or is that sort of just me? I don't know.
Are we all men in our 40s? Or nearly? Scotty?
Yeah, I'm in my 40s, getting closer to my 50s.
Yeah, same.
So, I don't know. I think our attitude to music changes. I think for a lot of us, as we get older, its importance in our life maybe becomes a little bit less. I mean, there's always huge music buffs, obviously. And so actually, I think streaming services in a way that allow me to explore and find new music might actually sort of revitalize an interest as opposed to take it away.
Mm. Yeah. And that's why I think that this Amazon thing is more interesting, because you buy Prime now for different reasons and you just get these extra services. So it's a little more powerful, because you might buy Prime for the whole shipping thing, which is why we bought it. But now I've got all these extra bonuses. So now if I've got a million songs and streaming here, like I said, if they build an app and the experience is seamless and easy and nice, I might go explore more music. But I would agree with that sentiment. Well, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm less and less interested in finding music.
I like new music. I mean, I got a tweet through on Twitter the other week about a young guy who said, "Is this guy the new Hendrix?" And I'm going back a year or more now. And it was a black guy from the States, and I played it, and I was like, "Holy crap, that is Jimi Hendrix," as far as I'm concerned. And I bought the album on that alone, and I've got it on my phone, and I listen to it in the car periodically. My problem is, I don't think to put music on. I do. Mm. I'm happy with music on. I cannot stand radio. If there's a radio station out there that just plays great music, no DJs talking shit, then I'll buy it. I'll have it, no problem. But all of them come in and they just... I like listening to Planet Rock quite a bit when I'm driving. But then the DJ comes on, you're like, holy crap, sod off, mate. I don't want to listen to you tell us what you had for dinner last night. Piss off.
That's why these playlists are great on these streaming services, because it's like radio.
But I've got Nokia Music.
Without the ads.
I've got Nokia Music on my Nokia 1020, free of charge. I never put it on.
Mm. It's right, isn't it? I mean, for me, music-wise, I still listen to things that I remember from when I was younger. You know, I've still got this sort of collection of songs. I think I'd really like to listen to that. You know, you're in a certain mood and maybe it connects with a certain memory. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I tend to listen to Radio 4 Extra, and I'm very much into sort of spoken word stuff and that type of stuff.
Yeah, I can do that too.
And I think as you do get older, you don't discover new music anymore. You're happy with the old stuff that you remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Planet Rock stuff, you see. It takes me back to the 80s and 90s, listening to a load of stuff there that I really enjoyed. Chat room's chipping in here. Wind Rider says 55 and still loving music as much as I did. Craig says he feels like 55. Mark says, if I felt like 50, I would be younger. Well done, mate.
I think it depends on your environment as well. I mean, I've got sort of five kids who are in and out of the house, sort of range from sort of 14 up into their early 20s, and they're in and out all the time. And so there's always different music playing. So I hear a lot of different music that way, and then sometimes end up sort of, still getting that. So I guess it depends what your environment is as well.
We're the same. I've got a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they love their music. Ellis loves his Now CDs, and he puts them on and plays them around the house. And I end up singing along to them, and the happy song, we all run around singing the happy song. If you're happy now, mate.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay, so here's a parenting tip. Teach your children what good music is very, very young, and then you'll enjoy their music.
I think the Happy Now song's
when they're teenagers, and, as opposed to having whatever crap they come home with.
As for all the songs in Frozen, mate... Do you want to build a snowman? Because I know I do.
I have heard the happy song about a million times.
And it's still a great song. Clap along, mate.
I don't even know that
clap
song.
Clap along.
It's a nightmare.
But that's honestly the problem, mate. You don't know what happened.
It's a great song the first time you hear it. But when your child puts it on an iPhone and plays it again and again and again and again.
You realise just how good it is. Greeny, you clearly don't know what happiness means to you. That's the key, mate. Me, I'm like a room without a roof.
Are you really? Doesn't it slightly irritate you, the happiest song? Christ.
No, I love it. I think it's brilliant. We all sit around clapping.
Really?
Oh, yeah, we're a happy family here, mate. We sit and clap around that. And we do. Frozen is on every day somewhere. There's something playing for Frozen. And we're all stood there bellowing at the top of our voices, let it go, let it go.
So I just need to let it go.
Superb. Bryony's obsessed with watching the one that's in 25 languages on YouTube. She loves that. And she's trying to learn all the words in all these different languages. It's brilliant. Love it. Absolutely love Frozen. Best movie ever made.
That's a movie that was, you can tell when you watch that movie, that was a movie that was written with the stage show already in mind.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, they've gone back to fairy tales, which is where they do, the Snow Whites and all that kind of stuff. Not some crap that's utter fantasy. This is, a proper fairy tale written by Hans Christian Andersen, and it does well on the big screen. Well, there's a surprise, because that's what you were doing in the 50s under Walt. Bring back Walt. What would Walt do? There we go. Hackers involved in locking and ransoming Apple devices in Australia have been arrested. Two Russians managed to use some ransomware, and it said the bloke's put his name on it, which I can't. The device has been locked by Oleg Pliss. I did say Pliss. Read the hijacker's message along with the demand for $50 to $100. Quite a few users were affected. In the early speculation suggested that iCloud may have been hacked, but Apple confirmed it was not the case. And hackers had eventually gone around through social engineering. And one of the things that they did, what I thought was quite interesting, was they sold a disabled account that had purchases on it cheaply. And when the person then linked it to the disabled account, that then gave them pure access through to their Apple account, which is quite an interesting way of doing it. Very well done, as the cleverness goes. This is a definite message that, you can't just click on what the hell you like if you're a Mac user. You've got to be aware.
I sort of admire hackers in some ways.
The social engineering.
They're so clever, aren't they? And sort of conning you into... entering your password.
I've got to admit, there's a couple of emails. I'm really good at this kind of stuff. I don't tend to get caught out very often. But there's a couple of emails that have come to me, and I've been really close to that click that's like, holy shit, what have I done? And I've stopped and thought, no, Christ. And it's things, simple things like I've deliberately got two separate email addresses, one for PayPal and one for eBay. And they send me a PayPal request to the eBay address, because they know that the two are linked. I'm all the way down, and then I just suddenly notice it's the wrong email address. I'm like, ew, very good, very good. And it looks very convincing.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job.
They're great. Hats off. Well done. No, seriously, there's a certain... If you're good at what you do, you're good at what you do. Congratulations. I don't particularly think you're a great human being, but well done. But I mean, take heed. Windrider's in Australia. I don't know if this happened to him, but during the attacks, users had passcodes enabled on their devices that were out to bypass the hack. But those who had not previously set a passcode were out of luck, I'm afraid, requiring a full real install of iOS. Apple recommends using passcode with iOS devices as a two-step authentication. You can help thwart attacks like this one and use the long one rather than the short one as well. But well done, chaps. Well done. But they've been arrested anyway. They got caught on CCTV withdrawing the money out of a cash point.
That's a shame, really, isn't
Russia's
it?
Internal affairs got them. Video showing unfinished split-screen iPad multitasking at work. This has been pushed out by Sainz Hamara on Mac Rumors, and it's Steve Trout and Smith. And you know Steve, you say, Scotty. I've got to say, the thought of the word split screen on an iPad or an iOS device doesn't fill me with great hope of it being good. It sounds like a pretty shit experience, I have to say, but I'll stand corrected, anyone.
Yeah, I don't know is the answer, and anything that's not released yet is not released yet for a reason. And I think we have to, I mean, they don't always get it right, but we have to try a little bit here that if they do it, they'll do it reasonably well. I mean, look how much we complain of the lack of copy and paste on early editions of the iPhone operating system. And then when they did bring it along, you know, it's about as good as you're going to get really on a touch-sensitive device. And so, yeah, I think the whole idea of split screen to me sounds a little bit, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, on the iPad maybe, but definitely not on the Mini or the phone. But you know, I'm just going to wait and see to exactly what they finally come up with and how they do it, because you know, they may do it in a way that we all say, how the heck did we live without this? Because I mean, there are times when you're using an app on your iPad and you're reading or something, and then you know, it's really annoying to have to come out of it to just, you know, check a message or do something else. And so I can see sometimes where it'd be useful. So you know, I'm not going to slag it off yet. What it means for developers, I've no idea because I've not really looked into it and how we have to handle it. But it's interesting that it's in there. But that doesn't, because it's in there, doesn't mean it's going to ever ship. It's, you know, could be just experimental right now.
Craig says no one really uses Snap in Xbox, so why would they use split screen on an iPad? And Bookery says you can watch two porn movies at the same time, perhaps.
Oh, that's good.
Good thinking. See, that boys, that's where he's out of the box straight away.
Can you do that on your Windows phone, Ewan?
What, watch porn movies in split screen?
Yeah.
No. Oh, well, I can if I make them in Photoshop or in Final Cut rather and export them, but I haven't tried that. I'm not that sad. Steady on.
That's rather nice. You imagine you're looking for like a wife shop or two women together and you can't find the exact movie you're looking for. You could sort of join them together, couldn't you?
Oh, it's chat roulette. That's why they've got the split screen, so you can swipe at the bottom and get rid of the hummers that you don't like.
Yeah.
Boys or girls. Yeah, there you go. Chat roulette. Found the level of this show then, Scotty? You won't be back.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Maple, this is a show where careers come to die, pal. EU has targeted.
Just think, some engineer has been sat in Cupertino working on this stuff. Their life, sweat and blood for the last 18 months, so that you could do chat roulette.
So, not to bring us back there, but because you said it's the happy songs, this Pharrell Williams. Just pointing out, it's not on Prime.
It's not. Oh, bugger. Nope. I've bought it anyway there in iTunes. I bought the whole album.
When you try and get it, you will it will come up and let you buy it for 99 cents. There we are.
I bought the whole album on iTunes. The rest of the album, shit. But that song, mad fantastic. Minga Central, says Craig. Thank you very much, mate. I'm sure you understand. Apple has got restricted. EU is probing into tax policies in Ireland.
Ireland.
And the US is also considering tax holiday for cash repatriation. I can't believe that there hasn't been some cash repatriation deals with Apple already for the building of the Mac Pro in the US. And I think they're kicking themselves a little bit because the demand for that is far outstripped by their ability to actually manufacture it. Whereas if they'd had it done in China, it would have they would have met demand. They've got to do this. I mean, the US is not going to get any money back in from Apple unless they're careful. But they're talking something like $80 billion of Apple's money is overseas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know when we do a story?
Yeah, you guys, I keep it in the office for them.
You do? Right, okay. No, I mean, 3.7% tax rate in Ireland for non-US income. Apple's maintained that its tax policies are entirely legal, and the position is echoed today in the state on a piece in Bloomberg. SEC investigation also found Apple's tax policies to be totally legal. So,
when they're dealing with that much money, I would find it hard to believe. I mean, they've got tons of lawyers, they've got tons of people looking into this stuff. They're going to be very careful what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
there's a big difference between legal and ethical.
Oh, enormous difference.
Correct.
It's an ocean.
Yes.
Apple says that they pay every euro of tax that they owe. The company said in an email statement, "We have received no selective treatment from Irish officials. Apple is subject to the same tax laws as scores of other international companies doing business in Ireland." And they pay them. So good.
Same as Amazon and eBay, you know.
And Starbucks.
How ethical are they? Brilliant.
Well, I think the only problem you've got is that those companies are actually fairly short-sighted, because how many people are going to be able to buy Cafe Nero, Starbucks, etc., if the economy is so bad that the tax go up to the certain degree to pay for the roads and that kind of thing, so that the people actually don't have any money anyway. And Apple's got to be careful the same way. You know, if they deplete the UK business, UK PLC infrastructure, then they will pay the toll long term as well with all the other companies. The problem you've really got as well is money sumps, though. I mean, there are sumps of money around the world that where money is just sitting and stagnating. It's not even being used for investment because no one can move it around anywhere. And that's where we're going to end up with the real problems.
I mean, you also have the problems, you know, that Apple, you know, that whole thing, you know, legal versus ethical. But on the flip side is, you know, even if you pay your taxes, you give all that money to the government, what are they doing with it that's ethical?
Mm.
that's true enough. In last week's podcast, I feel a little bit bad, but I think it's a valid point that America's sort of position in the world is changing, and within sort of the next decade, it'll become number two, and then within 20 years, it'll be number three in the financial sort of chart list, if you like. I don't know. For me, if I've got a massive business like Apple or Microsoft or something like that, I am going to look forward in time and say, well, how do we position ourselves with this huge change in world structure? And I don't know. Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're moving their money out of America into another country because they might want to move themselves. I don't know.
Have you watched The Newsroom?
Say again.
Well, have you ever watched the TV series The Newsroom?
No.
Watch that on Sky Atlantic. It's the opening scene in episode one is Jeff Daniels, and there's a bit there about, is America great? And he goes, no, it's not, and here's why. And he goes through all the reasons why it's not. And it talks about some of the levels that US is at in terms of economy, in terms of health and all that kind of thing. And it's quite an eye-opening argument for it. And I think a lot of nations delude themselves as to where they are in the world. We're no worse than anyone else for that.
Great Britain is a spent force, it has to be said. We're doing okay in the sort of European top of the pops, but on a world scale, I think we're a spent force. But you've got to look towards the future, haven't you? India and China, they're the number ones pretty much, aren't they?
They will be,
when it comes to the next sort of 10 or 20 years projection.
Mate, there are people now sitting listening to this nearly crashing in their cars because they can't believe that you've made a serious, logical, well thought out and lucid point, mate. I'm in awe of you.
Oh, right. I better change things.
Yes. The Bash is coming up. It's July 12th and 11th. If you want to come for the curry, it's July 11th. You just pay a £10 deposit. That £10 is yours still, because when you come in, you consume your beer and your curries, your £10 is going to go towards coming off the bill. So however many people are there, those deposits will all come off the bill, and then we'll just have a whip round and finish off what we've got to put in. The Curry House is open from 5:30 in the evening. There'll be cobras and wines and all that kind of stuff on offer. And Milan's going to put a whole pile of starters out around the room in tureens, so you can just pick away at that, and then we'll sit down for a curry a little bit later on. Kids are all welcome as well. My lad's going to be there because it's his birthday. I've screwed up and booked the Bash on his birthday, so if you are coming, please do bring him a card and tell him his dad's an arse. And then on the 12th, It's the Bash Reel. It's 25 quid at the moment, but we're very close to getting a sponsor, I think. And if it does, then we'll give you £5 back on that, don't worry, on the day. But yes, £25. Everything is covered in that day. That's the rental of the hall. It's the it's all the stuff to do with, you know, like the food. That's really done. Same caterer as last year, and the caterer was absolutely stunning last year, Leanne. And all your beer and all your wines and all your ciders and all that kind of stuff is all included in the price. All you've got to do is get yourself to the B36 / B46 area of Birmingham. B36 for the curry, B46 for the bash. But they're only 2 miles apart, so it's walkable even. But have a look for hotels. There's still cheap ones around, and the Bradford Arms over the road from where I live is still got numbers available. So check it out. We're doing okay on numbers. The curry's filling up rather quickly. You might be if you're leaving it for the last minute for the curry, you might end up with severe disappointment. But if you want the bash, I think there'll be enough tickets. We can do 200 at the bash quite comfortably, and there's normally about 100 or so there, so we should be plenty. But please get your tickets if you can, because I've had to pay for the venue today. That's 400 quid out the pipes, so it'd be great if you could support us. If you're coming, please let us know. Even if you don't buy a ticket, just say, yes, I'm definitely coming, and we'll get it sorted from there. But there is no dress code. We're having fun. We did space opera races, and we've got loads of fun and games. And when I was at Elmer the other night, some of the older folk there were like, well, you know, we don't really want to come to a techie bash. It's not everyone sitting around talking tech all day. It's having fun. We did space opera races last year. Don McAllister twisted his knee on a space opera. That's how drunk and silly he got. It's 6 weeks of pain and agony. But there'll be loads of other games. We had the World Card Cutting Championships that were won by Scarlett Neighbour, Steve Neighbour's daughter. She creamed all of the old stages there and walked away with the prize for a dad. Lovely 12 South thing. She was very generous. So we gave her some toys as well. But there's loads of toys and drawing and colouring in and potato stuff. Will, you'll be fine.
Thank you. Well, can I say something? So I was there last year and it was fantastic. So I... last year, it would have been a two-year-old and a four-year-old, and they had such a great time. And so did I, don't get me wrong. It was wonderful. Really happy family day, lots of beer, lots of food, but I suppose, more importantly, lots of fun. It was brilliant. So if you're looking for a really great day out, I can totally recommend it. And for the price of the ticket, it's a bargain.
Yeah.
Double it, Ewan.
Craig says in the chat, I don't think you want a blind guy doing a space opera race. Well, Darren Westlake is coming as well, who's blind, so we'll have the pair of you, mate. There will be a race between two blind men. There we go.
That'd be brilliant.
What a spectacle that will be. Superb.
Can I push him over halfway through?
No, we can't push him over halfway. I pushed Andrew over last year, and I only meant to just gently shove in him. I nearly put him through the sodding fence. Right, back to the news. New IMAX next week. Allegedly, bump up on the speed, and they reckon the prices are coming down as well as... And also, they reckon that there's a separation of... there'll be a Retina product line and a non-Retina product line for everything from this point forwards.
Hallelujah.
Is that what you want then, mate? Are you looking for a new iMac?
I am waiting for a Retina iMac, yeah. I've been holding out for one. I thought they might announce one at Dub, but obviously there was no hardware changes there. No. I don't need a Mac Pro. It's, well, nobody needs a Mac Pro, very few people, but it's a Retina iMac, great developer machine. Obviously, you've got to do a lot of Retina stuff as a developer. Plenty powerful. Since they've gone to all the PCI flash and everything, they're really fast, really nippy, just lacking that Retina bit. And then as long as they've got two or three Thunderbolt 2 ports on the back as well, that's a pretty scalable machine. Crank it full of 32 gig memory and whatever the max storage is, the terabyte, or maybe they even give us two now, and that's a machine that's going to do a couple of years.
They've got to come out with a couple of buses for Thunderbolt. Yeah, the single bus for Thunderbolt now is a dead issue. Absolutely useless to have one.
Well, I currently have two old style 30-inch cinema displays. And so my setup I want to do is a nice... I reckon if they do Retina IMAX, they're probably going to be 24-inch based on the current panels out there. So a nice Retina 24-inch panel sat in the middle of two 30-inch cinema displays running off a couple of the Thunderbolt ports will be quite nice, thank you.
Mark in the chat room wants to know what a space hopper is. I've put a big ball with two handles that you bounce on. There you go. I don't know, what do they call them in the States, Adam?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember...
Big orange ball with two ears, and you hold the ears and jump up and down on it. Batwench also says that she nearly had a riot because she was wearing a corset last year. Woman, it was not the corsets that was taking your eyes out. And if Craig is coming, you'll have to show him.
I love Thunderbolt. I think it's brilliant.
You changed your tune.
No, look, I love it. I think what's really good with a laptop, right, is get rid of every single port, right, and just replace it with sort of three or four Thunderbolts, and so you can buy adapters. So, you know, get rid of the Ethernet port, brilliant. Get rid of FireWire port, brilliant. Get rid of a DVD drive. Fantastic. So it's like you're sort of stuck in the desert with this useless laptop. I think, you know, sort of strategy-wise, they're doing a really good job of making the laptop as thin as they can and as useless as they can.
Mate, you're Captain Ahab today. You're trying to hook a whale here, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Dude. I'm not. I think it's really good. I love going to a client and thinking, oh, I'll just plug my computer into the Ethernet port. Oh, where is it? I haven't got one. Oh, somebody gives me a CD. Oh, where should I put that? Oh, I've got nowhere to put that. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Apple have gone totally mad.
Thank you, Will. I haven't used a DVD. And Don McAllister said he needed to write a DVD in the week. And I wrote back, what's a DVD, mate? Mm. No clue. I haven't used a DVD drive. The only thing that I've ever done with a DVD drive in the last 2 years is answer a question on the Help Show last night about a bloke who reckoned he'd got one stuck. Adam's showing you his external DVD drive with dust on it, I presume?
No, because this is the one I just pulled out of my my laptop.
Right, there you go. That's the special one. Lovely.
In all seriousness, they are mad at what they're doing. I mean, I don't mind an extra inch or two on my computer as long as it's sort of practical and useful when you're out in the field, and Apple have totally lost the plot.
Okay. You made yourself clear on that last week.
Somewhat to Will's point, I got to point this out. So I have one of these. You see that?
Yeah, the crumbly things.
Yeah, but see what's in it?
Connectors, cables, yeah.
A bunch of adapters. So I'm a little bit with him there, right? For those of us who have older stuff, we have to get these adapters, and it's kind of a pain in the keister to have to carry around a whole
I'm disappointed
bin
in FireWire.
Of, like, every adapter I need.
Yeah, no, I'm disappointed in FireWire disappearing. That's not good, because FireWire is still very relevant in terms of speed. So
okay, the advantage, I sort of get what Will's saying, with the issue of getting rid of all this stuff is not just the way and everything else, but everything they got rid of is the mechanical stuff, and it's the mechanical stuff that breaks. So I've got a couple of MacBooks around the house, and none of them, the DVD drives work anymore, whereas the rest of the machine's fine. I've got a 2008 iMac somewhere, 2009 iMac, and the DVD drive doesn't work because it's filled up with dust. And so you then get these devices where the mechanical stuff is going wrong in them just because simply through sheer use, and you've now got to either go through follow iFixit and take the 75,000 screws out to replace the CD drive, or you've got to take it to an Apple store and pay for it to get done. And when you just use an external one and it's 20 quid or whatever, the moment it goes mechanically wrong, you chuck it in the bin and your laptop's fine. I really was initially against the things like the CD drives and everything coming out of the stuff. But now I would say get rid of anything mechanical in any machine and make it external, because that's the stuff that's going to break.
Mm. Absolutely. I was walking around the other day, right? And I thought, my mechanical legs, this is ridiculous. I'll just chop them off. So I chopped them off. And then I thought, well, I need to pick something up with my mechanical arms. So I chopped them off as well. In the end, I thought, the only thing I need actually is my head. So I chopped my head off, and I couldn't pick that up, obviously. So I put it in the corner, and I'm quite happy now. So I've got no arms, no legs, no body or anything. Just this, like...
Thank you, Boxing Elena. And your screen is... your mic has run out of battery power, mate. It's just beeped a couple of times and gone off. He's on battery power on his Olympus thing, and it's beeped and it's gone off. So that's
we didn't just cut Will off in his prime, did we?
I think we did, and isn't that serendipity, eh?
Oh dear! What he was just disagreeing with me. I just think that is
Will be.
I don't know. There's something to be said in that. Then again, he's disagreed with everybody, so it doesn't make.
We'll do an ad while we give chance for Will to replace his mic, but it won't be a very long ad. The Network Union, they're big supporters of us. We've got a fantastic deal with them where they give us all the pipe work in to make sure that we can win on the transmission out to you guys with the BT broadband. And also they support our Patreon thing as well. They give us $85 a month, 50 quid a month, to support and sponsor the Patreon deal. We're going to do the Patreon draw on the big show later this evening. So do watch in and have a listen. We've got three winners of fantastic MacPaw software. Going to be drawn on that one. Please support the Network Union if you can, because they support us. What do they do? Well, they're simply a connection between you and BT. If you're a business BT broadband customer, then you can go to Network Union and they will act as support face between you and BT. You'll still have your contract with BT and all that kind of stuff, but the Network Union provide all of their expertise in WAN and LAN to make sure your system's running properly, and they'll also help you with pricing and that kind of stuff with BT, and they're just a brilliant, brilliant bunch of people. Love them to bits. They're great. So best thing to do is check them out. Get them to tell you what they can do for you rather than listening to some idiot like me tell you what they can do for you. So go to britishnetwork.com/sponsors and then just click on their link and they'll ask you for your email address. They'll only keep your email address for the purposes of contacting you that one time because you asked them to. They will not bug you with marketing thereafter and they will not sell your email on to anyone else. They have guaranteed us that and I absolutely believe them. So please, please, please check them out. Network Union, absolutely fantastic. And of course, UK2, the people that keep us afloat, they're the ones that give us the server that means that you can actually download all of the podcasts that we give you. And man, does that bandwidth get some hammering. We've got unlimited storage on there. We've got unlimited bandwidth. So every show we've ever produced is on that server. You can go get it and you can download it and watch it. Far back as you like. UK2 also give you a whole pile of reductions. So if you want anything like broadband, you know, draw names, that kind of stuff, or you want VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, shared servers, co-location services, buy them off them, and there's probably an offer code for you on the BTN website /sponsors again. So check them out and please support them. And if you get a chance on Twitter, tweet out and say how much you love them and thanks very much and all that kind of thing. And as I said, we're going to do a deal for Patreon later on. If you'd like to support us, send us a couple of quid. Say thanks very much for doing the shows. Patreon.com/British Tech Network. And just give us a couple of dollars, a couple of quid, whatever you think you can afford, just to help us out. It goes back into the studio. So at the moment, I've got a pile of lights. We're starting the Northern studio as well. So that means that come 1st of August, Paul Wheatley will be doing the Pocket Show and the Gamer Show on video as well as on audio. And they'll be broadcast live over live stream too. And we've got some lighting coming for him. I need to redo the lighting in here. All the money from that has come from the Patreon deal. So thank you very much to everyone who's donated. It makes a huge difference and we're not drinking it and we're not paying our mortgages with it. It's going back into making BTN a better service. It paid for the live stream stuff, but that's a different story because live stream hasn't done particularly brilliantly the last few weeks. But we're working with them to try and sort that out. They've been very good.
Going great today.
It's doing fine today, yes, because it's not Friday, you see. There we go. Right. Have we got a cool thing? Mr. Mattcast, what have you got for us?
All right. So I alluded to it a little bit earlier because I have removed the SuperDrive from my 2011 MacBook Pro, but it's going to be the Crucial M500 SSD drive, which I know is an older SSD drive. They have newer ones. But the key on this one was that I was able to pick a 480 gigabyte one up. One of the reasons I hadn't switched to SSD was because I need at least about 500 gigabytes of storage. And it was always sort of cost prohibitive. Well, they had this one on Amazon for $217 US. I think it was £167.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I'm doing my about that. Conversions right.
About that, yeah.
Yeah. So pick that up. Threw it in, and just like everybody's always told me, and I knew this was going to be the case. Everybody tried to convince me that, you know, it was going to feel like a brand new machine. And I had to pull because I had issues. I think we talked about it on the show. I had issues with my MacBook Pro. They pulled my RAM out. I had my RAM replaced. I haven't put my new RAM back in because I've had no speed issues since moving to the SSD. So I know I'm late to this party, but that. And then if you have an older Mac, you know, get this thing. The OWC data doubler, I guess that's my second pick, so that you can move your spinning drive and over to the slot where you're not using that that super drive anymore.
Be cautious though, because you can't put two SSDs in a MacBook Pro, which I found
certain models. Yeah, and they have information about that, I think, on OWC's website about the limitations, or you have to do it.
I've got the Optibay, and I put in two of those Crucials, and it wouldn't do anything with the second one at all. Wouldn't let me format it, nothing.
Yeah, no. So what I'm saying is, in my case, I just moved the spinning drive that was my boot drive is now over in the secondary optical drive slot, and now I'm going to be able to actually take my iTunes music library, which has been living on an external, and now put it back on my internal. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'll be able to carry around all my music and my movies and stuff with me now.
Apple need to address having two SSDs in the same MacBook Pro because it's an easily fixable thing, I would have thought. I can't believe there's a reason why not.
It's not blanket like that, is it?
Yep. You cannot have two SSDs. You can have one spinning, one SSD, but you stick two SSDs in and the second one just won't even format. It won't recognize it. And I went on and did some forum hunting, and it was something that's specified. Well, you can't do it.
Well, is that because you're hooking it up where the opticals...
Yeah,
where they always figured the opticals should have been or would have been.
It just doesn't. It doesn't recognize any. It won't recognize two SSDs internally.
Hmm. Interesting. Anyway,
it's funny because I ran a MacBook with the SSD and the spinning drive in for a number of years, and you're right. The SSD upgrade from a spinning drive is like night and day. But I've just found again now moving to. A laptop with the PCI flash storage in again. That's just feels like a huge jump. It just makes, it makes the SSDs feel a little bit slow now. The plug-in ones.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the big thing on this for me now is just the increase in productivity. You know, it's little bits where, you know, I was waiting 10, 20, 30 seconds for something, you know, for an app to open, things like that, and now they're opening instantly. But you know, the productivity throughout the day, just not having to wait for stuff, not having to see the spinning beach balls anymore. That was the huge benefit. But it, you know, more it was a cost thing for me. I just didn't have the funds to, you know, buy a 128 drive for $400 when it was like that. So you know, now that the pricing has come down, you can pick these up for a pretty good deal. I think Dave Hamilton was telling me you can find them around, you know, 50 cents a gigabyte. So
good.
Yeah, they've got a lot cheaper now. But again, I guess when you buy a new machine now and it's solid state stuff, you know, it's a big mistake as far as I'm concerned to just take the base model with the base amount of storage and whatever else, because you can't upgrade it. And,
yeah,
if you can't afford it, wait an extra 6 months, a year, and you know, buy it. You know, if you can max it out, and I know, and that's where Apple get you, because their SSD storage prices on the PCI flash is pretty ridiculous, but you know, you can never have enough storage, and therefore, you know, go for as much as you can possibly afford.
Yep, good advice.
That we're running the chat room says, if there's no bits of Will left, does that mean he's just an arsehole?
You see, I think that sound we heard just now was his head rolling off the table because he had no legs or body to balance it anymore.
Bad luck, mate. He can't reply still. What have you got for us, Scotty?
I think I'm going to pick some software, OmniFocus version 2. I don't know if you've had that as a pick on the show.
It's come up many times, but you can always say what you love.
Well, OmniFocus is one of these pieces of software that based around getting things done that I would love to use properly, and I try a lot and then don't get to it. But if you are going to do getting things done, then you know, this is about as good a piece of software as you're going to get to do it with. And the version 2 refresh now, I mean, is worth buying just for the new UI. It's beautiful. But as a developer, what I love about the Omni Group stuff is it's well-written software. They release stuff when it's ready, as opposed to just on a schedule. It always works. It's always well thought out. And they charge decent prices for it, which I know consumers don't necessarily like, but you know, software development isn't cheap, and you know, if people want good software, you have to pay for it in order to pay people to develop it. And so they've always stuck with their pricing, they weren't driven down to the sort of reach for the bottom bargain basement pricing on their software. It shows in their software that it's just so good and so well engineered.
I get
so that's the OmniFocus 2 from the Omni Group.
I get a bit pissed off if it's just obviously like a spreadsheet with a bit of cocoa on the front. Then I ain't going to be paying for it. But yeah, OmniFocus is I've heard very good, but I'm not a user, I have to say. Greeny,
their apps are great.
Greeny, you're going to have to mime yours, dude.
Well.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh, there we go. I thought we were going to have to do a game of charades, mate, for your pick.
Yeah. No, I'm all good. Okay, my particular pick is
a phone.
Nope. Because
I've got the 3G ticker going on in my ear.
Right, it's called Nendrum.
Nendrum, Nendrum.
Yeah, Nendrum.
Right.
So what I'll do is put that on. I'll tell you what, shall we do this live?
Go on then.
As it were. Right. You might get a bit of.
I've got a load of ticker, but yeah, go on.
Hold on, I can sort that. Don't worry, chaps.
Put it in airplane mode, good lad.
I'm doing that. Right, airplane mode.
Nicely padded for those audio listeners.
Right.
Yeah, I won't put mine in airplane mode because as I'm actually working through my phone on this call, then you might disappear. Right. Some people may enjoy the fact that I would disappear, mind you.
No, it's not you, mate. Are we ready yet, Greeny? Shall I do my pick?
Yeah, but hold on. No, I'm doing it.
Okay.
It wants me to. So I turn on Wi-Fi. That's the ticket. So it's streamed.
I'll do my pick and then come back to you.
Hold on. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Don't pressure me.
I'm not pressuring you. I'm trying to give you time. It's the opposite.
No, I'm doing it. Right. Here we go. There.
God, this is good audio. Just because you want to ruin your own shows, don't ruin mine.
No, I'm not. This is a really great. Oh, here we go. Great.
God, I can edit. Go on. Oh, Jesus, Greeny.
Well, it's not doing anything. It's not my fault.
Well, you were pushing the buttons, dude. I can see your wife's knickers hanging up there on the mirror.
Can you?
The reflection on the phone.
Really?
Dude, mate, I'm surprised that even fits in.
My wife's knickers. I'm going to tell her that. You're in big trouble.
Now I get why this show takes so long to be posted, says Russ.
I can't get this bloody thing to work, though, can I?
What a great pick.
It's really good. I really want to show you this. But for some reason, the audio is not working.
I'm curious what it is.
You just have a play for a minute. No.
That's it. I've got the button press wrong. Right, ready?
Oh, go on then.
There we go.
I'm pleased to meet you. Reeves is my name. I discovered this place. That's my claim to fame. For hundreds of years, it was a ruined shell without the sound of prayer or bell.
It's a bit loud.
Friends, all is not well. Since that man
move it away from the mic the a bell, bit.
Taking artifacts disturbed the ghosts. Your job is to return them to their rightful hosts. Use the map and accept the test to find the ghosts and put them to rest.
So what? It's a game then?
Yeah.
And what do you have to do? Find the ghosts and put them to rest?
Well, it's a game and it's free. And it is... there's an island in Ireland, or just off the coast of Ireland, Northern Ireland, that's got this sort of ancient monastery there. And they've built an app that's really fun. So if you're there, it's great. But if you're not, you can still explore the island and explore the monastery. And so the deal is, as you go round the monastery and you click on the various parts of it, it tells you stories about that part of the monastery. And, well, that's it. It's free and it's exciting and spooky, and it will teach you about history, about monasteries.
Ireland as in Ireland, I-R-E-L-A-N-D.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Ireland. That's right.
Ireland, yeah. Not Ireland, I-S-L-A-N-D. Right. Brilliant, mate. Yeah. Thank you. It was worth the wait, I have to say.
And it's called The Ghosts of Nendrum. I put a link in the chat.
Ghosts? That's where you can
really
find it, mate.
It really is fun. I suppose it'll give you an hour of entertainment.
For free.
But, yeah, you can't complain.
Live with that. Michael?
Yeah, if you just search for Nendrum, you're just going to get the monastery, which possibly isn't so much fun.
No, the interactive one.
Well, it looks like a really beautiful island. I've never been.
No. Well, there you go. You can put it on the bucket list, dude. Now you're 43.
I'm not dying.
Now you're 43.
I might be 43.
Now you're 43.
Dying.
You should be writing a bucket list, I'm telling you. At 47, mate, I've knocked a few off. A bucket list, I mean. Not.
No, I want lesbian sex. That's on my bucket list. I'll actually go into a monastery in Ireland. I don't care about that, really.
Mate, you'll have to wait for reincarnation for that then.
Well, I tell you what, if I'm going to have a bucket list.
Are you talking about being part of that lesbian sex, or are you talking about watching it?
No, being part of it.
Well, you can't be, because you're a Mannion Muppet.
I don't care. Like, imagine, like, a load of sexy lesbians, right? I'm talking six or seven.
Am I going to be able to publish this show?
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Go on.
Because it's what everyone sort of wants. So we've got six or seven lesbians in a room, right? Loads of wine, and me.
Right, as a man.
Bollocks to the rest. I don't care about going hang gliding or anything like that. I don't, yeah.
Right.
That's all I want.
Okay, you just want to watch everyone else have sex and you just want to drink. That's about right for you, Greenie.
No, I'll be in the centre of this lesbian orgy, right?
But they won't be interested in you.
They will.
You'll just be sitting there drinking like a sad old bastard that you are.
No, I won't. I'll be there in the middle of the room with these six lesbians, all gorgeous, of course, and they'll be jumping on and jumping off at regular basis.
Right, of course. So Bookery has chipped in with exactly the right statement. This show was better when his mic was dead. sounds like oranges.
Well, so, because every man knows exactly the same thing, surely. Or am I wrong? Ewan, right. If I said to you, could be in the middle of a room.
Are we
right,
done?
Hang on.
Six gorgeous lesbians, and they'll pop on and pop off at a regular basis. Would you say no, or would you say yes?
I'd say no, mate. I'd rather be down the pub. I can't be dealing with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a slight flaw in his plan, as pointed out in the chat room, that if you've taken all the bits of your body off, it's not going to be that much fun.
Yeah, there
for
you
me,
go. No, exactly.
You're just another taking all my bits of the body off.
You're just another arsehole sitting in the corner drinking by yourself. Right, my cool thing is the Transcend jump drive. If you haven't checked these out, go to transcendusa.com. There's a UK version as well as. They're not cheap. But what these are replacement PCIe flash drives for your MacBook Pro, your Retina MacBook Pro, and your Air. They will pop out the old stuff, put the new stuff in. You can get up to a full terabyte of storage on your little 11-inch MacBook Air if you want. And then what they do is they give you a little case which links via USB back into your computer, so you can use the storage that you've taken out as an external drive as well as. And they're great. They're absolutely fantastic. They're not cheap. Like I say, you're paying about £500 or £600 for a terabyte of storage in your MacBook Air. But I've got one on trial at the moment, and they're really fast. I mean, I can't tell the difference. They're at the same speed as the memory that I took out. I say they're not cheap. There's loads of different ones to try, and you can get them for other devices as well. You can get ones like bigger. Spinning drives, 2.5s that you can get as well that do the same kind of thing. Check them out. Jump drive from Transcend USA. I was really impressed with the Transcend thing at...
I think they're called Jet Drives.
Jet Drives, no. That's it, not Jump Drives. Jet Drives. Thank you, Matt. Adam. Matt. Jesus. Thank you, Adam. 500, 520 and 720s are the ones that you want. Ideal.
You only got every name involved in that sentence wrong, but other than that was great.
Cheers, Robert. Do appreciate it. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me over at maccast.com and also occasionally on the iOS show, which is rebranded. We have communicators.
Yep.
And of course, Maccast on Twitter and Facebook and all those other places. So
excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Where are you, Scotty?
You can find probably my developer podcast at iDeveloper.co, and on Twitter is MacDevNet.
Shame you're never coming back, because I've enjoyed having you on, mate. Thank you very much.
That's all right.
And Greeny, where, pray tell, are you?
Half a dozen gorgeous lesbians jumping on me.com.
That's right, oh. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again on Friday of next week. And don't forget, tune in for the big show at 8 p.m. tonight, because we'll be drawing the Patreon winner for last month. They're going to get three of them. Three people are going to win MacPaw software worth about 60 quid each. So you'll enjoy it as well. I've got it. It's clean, my Mac 2, and it's the best piece of software out there for Mac. Definitely. See you soon. Thanks for listening. Greeny, are you just trying to up the stakes every freaking week?
I did have some fun, though.